Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin, 102.5, 106.3. The game, Titans fall yesterday, 27-3 in Cleveland. 20 yards rushing for Derrick Henry on 11 carries. We say hello now to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Hot mic with Hutton and Withrow. Weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. Hut, not a good day for the Titans, but how are you?
Hi, I am great. I am much better than the Tennessee Titans today. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. Want to start with the run game that they just could not establish at all. Whether it was Derrick Henry or Tajay Spears, they had 26 yards total between the two of them. We know the offensive line is to blame for a lot of things with the offense yesterday, but we've also seen Derrick Henry cover for that at times. He couldn't do it yesterday.
No, I mean, no one could do it yesterday. The offensive line couldn't do it yesterday. But this is, look, Mike Vrabel went on Titans radio postgame yesterday and said that this coming week would be a lot, it would tell a lot about the culture of the team. And culture is one thing. I don't doubt Vrabel and the culture that he has installed since he came here in 2018. But the culture is Derrick Henry. It is King Henry. It is offensive line play. It is trench warfare. And they were atrocious at that. And it's not just culture. The self-inflicted penalties, problems, issues, all of that, and then paired with the fact that they can't run the football, that's a trend. And it's now, you know, you're staring down 1-4, or 1-3, excuse me, after week 4, where you haven't faced the top players on these teams other than Justin Herbert, but you didn't face Eckler, you didn't have to face Kamara, and yesterday no Nick Chubb and potentially no Joe Burrow. I mean, it's not good, and it's not good because they're beating themselves and they can't be who their identity is. It's baffling to see how bad they were yesterday. Just when we think that we're starting to see an upward trajectory, albeit, you know, not a steep rise, but one that you can point to and say, okay, this is the team that we thought they were putting together, the balanced run game a week ago, paired with the play action, nothing was going right. And just to put this in perspective, Chase, the Titans threw 3 quarters yesterday. This is how bad the identity and culture of, if you're describing a Vrabel team, it's the physicality. They had 21 plays through 3 quarters of no gain or negative yards on offense. That is pathetic.
How much do you think it killed any momentum that they may or may not have had by not coming away with points to close out the first half?
That was huge. I mean, they had the two drives right there. They had 1st and 10 at, you know, scoreable range and didn't come away with anything. So that's it. I mean, but again, just the awareness and the fact that they I mean, they went max protect on a play where they were trying to throw and get some points, and they still gave up a sack. I mean, that's how bad things. It was so bad that after the game, Myles Garrett is telling Andre Dillard, giving him tips and advice and insights on how he beat him, drummed him throughout the game. I mean, it's just
– wow.
It's not good. It's not good. And it was just look, I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm thinking back to the days of being on the sideline and watching the Ken Wisenhunt era. That's how bad that offensive line was yesterday. There were no answers. And, you know, moving forward, this is also like – Andre Dillard was brought in by this group, Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon. You know, he's signed. That's one of those deals where you've got to have some pieces that you can count on. And I thought yesterday was what we had feared could happen with this offensive line. Didn't say would, could. And we've seen the first two games where the offensive line has been adequate. Not great, adequate. They went from adequate to atrocious yesterday.
They did. We're joined now by our good buddy Jonathan Hutton. And Jonathan, you know, watching that game, you brought up a good point, which I was going to say. This felt like 2014, 15, 13, right in there, where there's just like nothing good to look at. And I mean, how did they get back to this point again? It's just kind of, well, it boggles your mind.
Joe, it's it reminds me of that little span. Thank God it was a short one. It reminds me of that span because of how many whiffs there were at the line of scrimmage yesterday. Like, there was confusion. Like, guys didn't know assignments. And, you know, so many just clean rushes straight to Henry just getting just drilled at the line of scrimmage. Same for Tannehill. I mean, they're just not good. And this is one that you have to, you know, move on from. You try to move forward and put it behind you, and they'll say all the right things, and they're not going to point fingers, and they're going to fix the correctable issues. We've been there. We've heard this. Like, time to fix it, because if you're going to have one foot in and one foot out, like we felt like they did this off season, okay, what are they doing? Are they planning for the future? Are they trying to win now? Are they going for it again? What is this team? How do you define what they're doing in 2023? Well, it's time for them to figure that out. Otherwise, we kind of know that whatever they've done or whatever they were trying to do is not going to work out all that well, despite a bad division.
With all the losses at the end of last year, starting out as bad as they have this year, some have weighed in this morning, Jonathan, that the seat needs to start getting warm for Mr. Vrabel. You agree?
Look, I picked the hell out of Mike Vrabel, just like I did John Robinson. But if you'll fire John Robinson last year, I can't sit here and say that Amy Adams Trunk wouldn't do the same with Mike Vrabel. All bets are off based on what we saw last year in December the 7th or 6th or whatever it was. First weekend in December a year ago, that Tuesday, I was surprised, because you knew how good Philadelphia was a year ago with AJ. You knew how bad situations were here. You knew how bad the depth was. And when they made that move, not to rehash a year ago, when you made that move, you threw in the towel there, because you're signaling we're playing for the off season. You get to the off season, and now we see this start, and we see this offensive line, and it's more of the same, at least from yesterday's perspective. So they've got to find some answers. And normally, this is why I'm saying, like, I respect Vrabel does a great job of using what he has and gets the most out of it, except on the offensive line. And we've got to see that turn where we figure out the depth and how they piecemeal something together with what they have, because it was their decision to go with backups on good offensive lines from across the league that were ready for an opportunity. And so far, you know, we're still trying to search for answers after a preseason and a training camp where they knew that they had these questions, and they felt like they could still run the football. And so far, they're not doing that.
So let's say that they get to week 7 in the bye week after London, and they're 1-5 or they're 2-4, which there's a very good chance that that could be the case. Do you think organizationally they look at that point as, let's, you know, you were kind of touching on this, but let's look at the future and then maybe start making calls if there are teams out there interested in a Derrick Henry, in Ryan Tannehill, in some of these, you know, Kevin Byard veteran players, and maybe look at the potential of having that number one overall pick, which I'm not saying you would take Caleb Williams, maybe you would, but you could get a haul for that if it falls in your lap. So do you think that that conversation could start at the bye week if all those things happen?
No, I mean, Chase, I don't see, and this is why I keep pointing back to the off season and kind of the structure and mindset of why it was like half future. This is the second straight year they've drafted a backup running back and a backup quarterback in the middle, the second and third rounds. That's where I'm pointing to, is where they tried to help the pass game by drafting a running back, and we barely see him get the football. That's the confusion there. But they also brought back Tannehill and Henry, and they give Simmons the extension, as they should have. There are signs to point to a competitive football team. I don't see Mike Vrabel doing that or signing up for that whatsoever, because he didn't sign up for the rebuild in the offseason. And Vrabel's making a lot of decisions. We know he has more power. So no, I don't think we see that. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals are even beating the Dallas Cowboys right now for whatever reason. So, yeah, I sign up on the side of it's 1-4. I'm not tanking for the NFL draft at that point. I simply can't do it based on the plan or whatever plan they went with where they're staying competitive in 2023. It starts on the O-line. And guys, let's also just say this. This team is a competitive football team based on the defense and based on the veterans that they have offensively. But those guys have to be factors. The front seven yesterday on defense was not a storyline. Therefore, we saw what happened with the secondary. And then on the flip side, offensive line, the storyline, no veterans that stepped up on offense a week ago, Henry, Hopkins, Tannehill, there are others. You could say they didn't have a chance, but they weren't a part of that game either. And that's what's got to happen for the Titans to win games, period. And, you know, I think we get back on track, because typically whenever the negative talk comes out, all of a sudden they start playing well. Vrabel even mentioned a little bit of that yesterday in the postgame with the media. And just referencing how they've got to get back to, you know, fundamentals, and, you know, they're going to hear a lot of chatter, what have you. But following that, they've got Indy, and then we see them go to London. To your point, I see a team that when their back's against the wall, they return home and they're facing a team that, you know, is also reeling a bit. They should be better than, and they probably end up being extremely competitive and playing the way they did against the Chargers until the next elite defense rolls around and they make the Titans offensive line look inadequate. And this goes back to my original answer. The Titans' strength was always the run game and their offensive line on offense. They could go up against the best in the league, and if they didn't win the game, everyone came out bloodied. And there was only one group that did yesterday.
Real quick before we let you go, Bill Belichick has commented on this, the biggest story in the NFL right now, Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift. She was at the game yesterday at Arrowhead. Your thoughts on the new power couple in sports and music?
I mean, who would have thought that a friendship bracelet could go this far?
Hey, it gives us all hope.
Will you accept this promise ring? That's the next thing. This. All of a sudden, mood rings are going to be back, Joe. I know Dubin's going to be so happy about that.
I expect this to be the massive, major topic with you and Chad this afternoon.
You know, it will be, and I will have Chad wear his friendship bracelet I gave him 12 years ago.
Did you hear Belichick's comments this morning?
No, I haven't.
He went on the Greg Hill show in Boston and was asked about it. And he said, well, I would say that that Travis Kelce's had a lot of big catches in his career. This would be his biggest.
Oh, hey. I mean, the fact that he put his phone number on a friendship bracelet.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then, what was that, 2 months ago?
Yep.
Probably?
Yeah.
So yeah. 2 months later, she's in a suite at Arrowhead with his mom. I mean,
it's amazing. It is the biggest. It has made today much more fun, and you have as well. Thanks as always, and we'll talk again next week.
Thank you, guys. Always enjoy this.
Absolutely. Jonathan Hutton, Outkick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Weekdays 2 to 5, 94.9 The Fan joins us every Monday at 10:30. We will read some more texts, announce a winner, and get to celebrity birthdays to wrap things up. Next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.